Got a spring or an itch.
Welcome to another edition of Hey Doc. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. I'm your host for the next half hour. With me today is my co-host and wife, Carmen Lasky, a certified EMT. Together, we hope that you will find the show informative, educational, as well as entertaining.
Oh my God.
You want me to go vegan? Well, today we hope that we can convince you to, well, at least try to come close to a vegan diet. Now, don't touch that dial. For many, any vegetarian diet is a four-letter word. But last week, we explained the why, and this week, the how, to eat better and healthier. Now, if you didn't listen to last week's show, it's still available on the internet at bit.ly/LaskyRadio. But for those without access to the internet, Carmen and I will give you a 2-minute resume of the show. Many of us have already heard about the anti-inflammatory effect of plant-based diets.
But a healthy diet is about more than just the power of plants. It's also the avoidance of animal foods. We have known for years that a single meal of meat, dairy, and eggs trigger an inflammatory reaction inside the body within just hours of consumption.
This results in a stiffening of our arteries, and this starts at birth. Yes, breast milk contains casein, which are the proteins in mammalian milk. 80% of cow's milk and only 20 to 45% of human milk proteins are casein. Now, we'll get back to casein in a moment. So right from birth, we're loading up on proteins. Breakfast may contain milk, cheese, and meats, often all three, such as a cheese omelet with bacon.
Then we can have another dose of animal product for lunch, maybe a hamburger or even a cheeseburger. And then dinner with some salmon, a meatloaf, pizza with pepperoni, or a nice fatty marble steak.
In this routine, we may be stuck in a chronic low-grade inflammation danger zone for most of our lives, and this can set us up for inflammatory diseases like heart disease, diabetes, and even certain cancers, one meal at a time.
Remember that inflammation is an immune response to a perceived threat, but what's the body attacking?
After a meal of animal products, one's bloodstream becomes filled with bacterial toxins, and these are called endotoxins.
No wonder there is so much inflammation. However, where are the endotoxins coming from?
They come from bacteria, which is in our gut. The saturated animal fat was causing our gut lining to become leaky, allowing our own bacteria to slip into our bloodstreams.
And experiments on mice showed that saturated fat made their guts leaky. So, for years, this was a prevailing theory as to why animal products cause inflammation within hours of consumption.
Only recently did researchers realize this just didn't make any sense.
However, the rise in inflammation after a meal of meat, dairy, and eggs starts within just an hour of ingestion by our gut flora errant in our small intestine. They are 20 feet farther down in our large intestine.
The endotoxemia, that again is the bacterial toxins in the bloodstream, that follows a meal of animal products and results in inflammation and stiffening of arteries, may come from the food itself, rather than from one's own gut bacteria.
It can take food hours to get down there. So what was going on? If the bacterial endotoxins were not coming from our gut, maybe they were coming from the food.
For the first time ever, 27 common foodstuffs were tested, and they found endotoxin equivalents in food, such as pork, poultry, dairy, and egg products, as well as certain fermented foods.
Saturated fat also appears to have other deleterious effects, such as increasing the risk of heart disease and shortening the lives of breast cancer survivors.
Remember that any suggestions that we make, run them by your physician first before trying them. There may be individual reasons why these suggestions may not be appropriate for you.
So before we get to all of our suggestions, just one more time, let me tell you what we suggest you not eat.
By now, you've probably heard that eating meat is a bad idea for you. Well, the World Health Organization made headlines last year when it declared processed meat a carcinogen that increases your risk of colon or rectal cancer by 18%. But it's not just processed meat that poses a health risk. Science has known for a while that eating all kinds of animals, including the white meats, is bad for you.
Many of us have said to ourselves in the past, knowing that eating meat is not the best thing for you, I only eat a little meat, so that is okay, right?
Not quite. While decreasing meat consumption is a good step to take, the fact remains that eating any meat, hormone-free or not, poses several serious long-term risks to your health. So I know your next question. What's the health risk of eating meat? Guess what? Cara and I are going to tell you exactly what we want to say about this, but we won't dwell on it. After all, we did a whole show on this last week.
Remember, we showed you that eating meat can significantly increase your chance of cancer. But how significant is this, really?
Well, the cancer research of the UK classifies foods into 5 groups. 1, 2A, 2B, 3, and 4. With group 4 being probably not a cause of cancer, and group 3 not classifiable as a cause of cancer. Class 2B is possibly causes cancer, and we're left with just 2 more, the highest groups. 2A, which includes those foods that probably cause cancer, and group 1, which classifies the foods that do cause cancer. Guess what the meats all fit in? Groups 1 and 2. Pork, beef, and lamb are in group 2A, meaning probably cause cancer. So what's in group 1?
This group of cancer-producing foods contains the processed meat such as salami, bacon, sausage, and hot dog. So think about this before eating that pepperoni pizza.
I know, pepperoni. I've heard from a lot of people who do not even think of pepperoni as a meat. Well, it is. It's an American variety of salami made from cured pork and beef mixed together and seasoned with paprika or other chili peppers.
Most of us saw the story last year when the World Health Organization declared processed meat a carcinogen, which increases one's risk of colon or rectum cancer by 18%. But it's not just processed meat that puts you at risk. A vast array of studies from top universities has found that eating chickens, cows, and other animals promotes cancer in many forms.
Large studies in England and Germany showed that vegetarians were about 40% less likely to develop cancer compared to meat eaters, the most common forms being breast, prostate, and colon cancers. And a Harvard study in 2014 found that just one serving a day of red meat during adolescence was associated with a 22% higher risk of premenopausal breast cancer, and that the same red meat consumption in adulthood was associated with a 13% higher risk of breast cancer overall.
So why is meat bad? First, meat is devoid of fiber and other nutrients that have a protective effect against cancer.
Meat also contains animal proteins, saturated fat, and in some cases, carcinogenic compounds, such as heterocyclic amines and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, which are formed during the processing or the cooking. Now, meat also contains hormones, which increase our cancer risk.
Let's go on to reason 2 not to eat meat. Meat increases your risk of heart disease and diabetes. This is the reason that former President Bill Clinton went vegan.
Meat, dairy products, and eggs all contain cholesterol and saturated fat and contribute to America's top killers, heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, and various types of cancer.
This is not from just one study. Decades of scientific study have linked dietary cholesterol to cardiovascular disease, killing nearly 2,200 Americans daily.
Remember that saturated fat is present in all meat and fish, even chicken and turkey cooked without the skin. The American Diabetes Association said that people who eat high amounts of animal protein are 22% more likely to develop diabetes. And saturated fat, it's been linked to breast cancer and Alzheimer's disease. Saturated fats have even been linked to breast cancer, as well as Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and cognitive decline.
But you have probably heard the question, what do I do for protein? I've heard that we need animal protein. Fortunately, there are many plant-based protein sources that are low in saturated fat and won't send your LDL, the bad cholesterol, levels up.
Now, if you're looking to maintain a lower weight for your health, it's worth knowing that meat eaters are 3 times more likely to be obese than vegetarians and 9 times more likely than vegans.
Of all foods, meat carries the highest risk of foodborne illness. The U.S. Department of Agriculture reports that 70% of food poisoning is caused by contaminated animal flesh. Foodborne disease such as E. coli, Salmonella, and Campylobacter cause an estimated 76 million illnesses, 325,000 hospitalizations, and 5,000 deaths in the United States each year.
Eating meat puts you at a greater risk for food poisoning because animal products are often tainted with fecal contamination during slaughter or processing. I know we don't often want to think about this. Fecal contamination in chicken, especially, is a major problem. Now listen to what Carmen's going to say now.
According to a Consumer Reports study, 97% of raw chicken in U.S. supermarkets is contaminated with bacteria that could make customers sick.
So if you eliminate animal products from your diet, you'll also be eliminating your exposure to the most common carrier of these bacteria.
This is a great time to tell you about Southside Medical Center. I'm Dr. Harold Lasky, and I've been the medical director and physician at Southside Medical Center for the past 29 years. We're located at 3604 Southside Boulevard, just two blocks south of the Beach Boulevard intersection between the Pottsburg Post Office and the Tulsa Welding School. We will treat your pains, sprains, and strains. Our practice emphasizes chronic pain management as well as anti-aging medicine. We also have an office-based substance treatment program for those who need it. Southside Medical Center is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you would like to make an appointment or ask any questions about Southside Medical Center, please call us at 641-4411. That's 641-4411. Southside Medical Center, where your health is our primary care.
Welcome back to the Hey Doc Show. Carmen and I have been talking about the dangers of a meat-based diet. We're going to continue for just a short while more on this and then get to the nitty-gritty of a healthy diet. Reason 5 to stop eating meat is the fact that it might contribute to erectile dysfunction in men. That's right, meat, eggs, and dairy products slow the flow of blood to all the body organs, not just the heart.
Up to 90% of all cases of impotence are actually physical as opposed to psychological, meaning that high cholesterol, obesity, diabetes, prostate cancer, or inflammations, and hormonal imbalances that eating meat causes might also contribute to impotence.
Most meat has hormones in them. Simply stated, this is a fact.
To make cows grow at an unnaturally fast rate, the cattle industry feeds them pellets full of hormones.
While low levels of naturally occurring hormones are found in various foods, many scientists are concerned that the artificial hormones injected into cows especially cause health problems in people who eat them.
And while organic or hormones-free meat might be a better option, you're also not eliminating your chances of ingesting the naturally occurring sex hormone present in the animals when they were killed.
The sex hormones, progesterone, testosterone, and estrogen, are all naturally occurring in animals, whether they've been given artificial hormones or not. So when you eat those animals, you're also eating hormones. How about antibiotics?
The presence of antibiotics in meat may make you resistant to antibiotics when you need them to stave off an infection. Factory farms are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bacteria, known as super germs.
And because on farms across America, the antibiotics that we depend on to treat human illnesses are now used to promote growth in animals and to keep them alive in horrific living conditions that would otherwise kill them, many new strains of antibiotic-resistant bacteria have developed as a result.
Roughly 70% of the antibiotics used in the United States each year are given to animals that are used for food, meaning if you eat meat, you run a greater risk of making yourself antibiotic resistant.
Vancomycin is a drug that's often called our last defense in fighting deadly blood infections and pneumonia caused by Staphylococcus bacteria. This is now showing failures in treatments since resistant strains have developed in farm animals who are given the medicine as a growth stimulant. Well, enough on why not to eat meat.
What can we do to eat well and still enjoy our meals? After all, a diet that is not pleasurable to consume will quickly be abandoned.
We need a vegan or at least vegetarian diet that presents you with meals that you can look forward to, not wrinkle your nose up at. Wow, did I just use a proposition to end that sentence with? You know, that reminds me of a statement once attributed to Winston Churchill, former leader of England, who supposedly rebuked an editor who had clumsily rearranged one of his sentences to avoid ending it in a proposition. So Churchill said, "This is the sort of English up with which I will not put." Probably good English, but simply does not sound right. Anyway, getting back to vegan and vegetarian diets. I opted for the vegan, or better pronounced vegan, rather than the vegetarian diet, since vegans forego all dairy products as well as all meats, and that includes no consumption of milk or cheese products. For me, this was important, as I read more and more about the protein casein and its effects on the human body, which we went over last week. Carmen and I thought that this would be a difficult change. We had, after all, been vegetarians for several years when our kids were just growing up into adolescence. Even then, I didn't particularly look forward to meals, having been a meat and potatoes, hot dog and hamburger guy throughout my youth. Carmen had an easier time of it, actually enjoying fruits and vegetables and looking forward to salads. So to go to a vegan diet was a stretch. We thought about it long and hard, about 15 minutes, after seeing the documentary, What the Health? I know, I wanted to do it, but how? How can I make each meal a time to enjoy?
It is often easy if you were raised as a vegan or vegetarian, since you are less likely to crave the meat or meat-like taste of foods. So we try to come up with a diet that fits everyone's needs. First, we need to make sure that the diet contains everything that we need for a healthy lifestyle. This means eating the appropriate amounts and type of proteins, fats, and carbohydrates that keep our bodies in tip-top condition. And we have to do it using tasty, enjoyable foods.
Both Carmen and I always enjoyed cheese, so this was especially hard to remove from our diets. After all, maybe there is something about the addictive qualities of casein in milk and cheese that keeps us going back to it. If you do not know what I'm talking about, you can go to the podcasts on WBOB.com and listen again to last week's Hey Doc Show.
What we did is go to our local supermarket and start by grabbing several cheese substitutes.
I really didn't know which ones I or Carmen would like, so we bought 5 different cheeses and even milk substitutes. At first, we could not find them since many were not where I expected them to be on the shelves. After looking in the cheese section of the supermarket for the cheese substitutes and not finding them, we started thinking that this was going to be harder than we expected and just about decided to order these foods on the web. But luckily, a very knowledgeable store manager showed us that the products were not in the cheese section but housed in the produce section. He also showed us which products seemed to be selling well and which ones not so well. Maybe not a great indicator of taste, but a start. Well, we thanked him and chose 3 substitutes.
Of course, finding non-dairy milks, cream cheese, and sour cream was easier. They were in the cooler areas of their own food group. In the milk section, we found almond milk, coconut milk, and various other milk substitutes. We found tofu substitutes for the cream cheese and sour cream, which I will tell you were at least to us tasty and fulfilling.
We were also happy with both forms of milk, but for different purposes. We both liked the coconut milk for our cereals and the almond milk for cooking and drinking. So again, our suggestion here is to try several different substitute products and mark them down, those that you really wish to buy again. We have already made our own list, and the list is getting larger. By the way, there's also cashew milk. Although not a favorite of mine, Carmen loves it.
A big question for many is, how do I get the protein I need? Isn't meat protein better for you than plant protein?
Let's get the facts here. Protein is an important nutrient required for the building, maintenance, and repair of tissues in the body. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. They can either be synthesized by the body or ingested from food.
Our bodies can make 11 of the 20 needed amino acids. This leaves us 9 amino acids that we must get from our diet. A variety of greens, legumes, and vegetables can provide all of the essential amino acids our body requires. It was once thought that various plant foods had to be eaten together to get their full protein value, otherwise known as protein combining or protein complementing.
We know that intentional combining is not necessary to obtain all of the essential amino acids. As long as the diet contains a variety of grains, legumes, and vegetables, protein needs are easily met. Well, how much protein is enough?
With the traditional Western diet, the average American consumes about double the protein her or his body needs.
The recommended dietary allowance for protein for the average adult is just about 2 to 3 ounces daily. However, even this value has a large margin of safety, and the body's true need may be lower for most people.
An extra serving of legumes, tofu, meat substitutes, or other high-protein sources can help meet needs that go beyond the current RDA.
Even though high-protein diets for weight loss, disease prevention, and enhanced athletic performance have been greatly publicized over recent years, there's simply little research, scientific research, that supports these diets.
Studies show that the healthiest diet is one that is high in carbohydrate, low in fat, and adequate in protein.
And high protein diets can actually contribute to disease and other health problems. For example, high protein intake is known to encourage urinary calcium losses.
Plant-based diets, which provide adequate protein, can help protect against osteoporosis. Calcium-rich plant foods include leafy greens, vegetables, beans, and some nuts and seeds, as well as fortified fruit juices, cereal, and non-dairy milks.
Animal protein also plays a role in cancer. Specifically, certain proteins present in meat, fish, and poultry cooked at high temperatures, especially grilling and frying, and these have been found to produce compounds called heterocyclic amines. Now, these substances have been linked to various cancers, including those of colon and breast.
Long-term high intake of meat, particularly red meat, is associated with significantly increased risk of colorectal cancer. And don't confuse which meats are considered red. Most pork cuts are considered red meat, not white.
When people eat too much protein, it releases nitrogen into the blood or is digested and metabolized. This places a strain on the kidneys, which must expel the waste through the urine.
High protein diets are associated with reduced kidney function. Over time, individuals who consume very large amounts of protein, particularly animal protein, risk permanent loss of kidney function.
The American Academy of Family Physicians notes that the high animal protein intake is in part responsible for the high prevalence of kidney stones in the United States and recommends protein restriction for the prevention of recurrent kidney stones. And finally, typical high protein diets are extremely high in dietary cholesterol and saturated fat.
Many who try a high-protein diet for weight loss are happy with the weight change they get. But in fact, the weight loss is not a result of consuming more protein, but by simply consuming fewer calories.
So here's how you can get ample proteins daily from a plant-based diet. First, let's start with 5 or more servings of grains each day. That sounds like a lot, but it's not. Now listen, this could include just a half a cup of hot cereal, an ounce of dry cereal, or just one slice of bread. Each serving contains roughly 3 grams of protein.
Now aim for 3 or more servings of vegetables each day. This may include 1 cup of raw vegetables, 1/2 cup of cooked vegetables, or 1/2 cup of vegetable juice.
Each serving contains about 2 grams of protein. So far, we've got 5 grams of protein. Try to get 2 to 3 servings of legumes each day.
This means 1/2 cup of cooked beans, 4 ounces of tofu or tempeh, 8 ounces of soy milk, and 1 ounce of nuts. Be sure to check labels for protein content. Each serving may contain about 4 grams to 10 grams of protein.
And yes, meat analogs and substitutes are also great sources of protein that can be added to your daily diet. Just do as we said, experiment and find the ones that taste the best.
1 cup of boiled black beans contains 15.2 grams of protein. 1 cup of broccoli, 4.6 grams. 1 cup of boiled chickpeas, also called garbanzos, contains 14.5 grams, also called garbanzos.
Have you tried lentils? 1 cup contains a whopping 17.9 grams of protein. Just 2 tablespoons of peanut butter has 8 grams of protein. And something new for us, but very tasty, cooked quinoa, where 1 cup has 11 grams of protein.
Even just 1 slice of whole wheat bread contains 2.7 grams. That means a sandwich with 2 slices of bread already contains 5.4 grams of protein. So eat up and be healthy.
I'd like you, our listeners, to know that I am one of several physicians right here in the Jacksonville area that has received the certification to recommend medical marijuana to those patients with certain qualifying diagnoses. These now include amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, cancer, Crohn's disease, epilepsy, glaucoma, HIV/AIDS, seizure disorders, chronic muscle spasms, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, a terminal condition, as well as other ailments and conditions, including certain diseases with chronic or long-term pain. For more information, you can call our office at 641-4411. We've also set up a website for our Medical Marijuana Society at www.medmarsoc.com. That's www.medmarsoc.com. We have also set up a special website at CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, you can get a whole lot more information on medical marijuana. You can also set up an appointment for an office visit to Southside Medical Center right on the website. Again, that website is CompassionateCareJax.com. Well, we've come to the end of another Hey Doc show. Carmen and I hope that you've enjoyed the past half hour and have found it interesting, educational, and maybe just a little bit entertaining.
So, from all of us here at Southside Medical Center, have a happy and healthy weekend. Goodbye.
WBOB AM 600.